Today on Tristan Storytime, Timmy Willie experiences city life with Johnny Town Mouse while he experiences the country with Timmy. Then a wicked wolf pays the seven little goats a visit, disguising himself as their mother. Next, a male deer, or a stag, marvels at the beauty of his antlers instead of the strength of his legs, followed by a nursery rhyme featuring a weasel that goes pop. And finally, experience the beauty of the night sky and bedtime with Robert Louis Stevenson as he shares his goodnight poem with us. Those stories and more next on Tristan Storytime. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Tristan Storytime. I'm Tristan Gardner. I'm so glad you're able to join me once again for another great episode. And as always, feel free to use your imaginations, because this is what this podcast is all about, using your imaginations. So find a seat and get comfortable, because another episode of Tristan Storytime is about to begin. Did you know that two mice live in very different places? Well, it's true. Mr. Johnny Town Mouse is another friend of ours, for he and Timmy Willie visit for some hours. They play and run and eat some cake, go to sleep and then awake. Okay, that's another thing for another time. But anyway, here is the tale of Johnny Town Mouse, written and illustrated by Beatrix Potter. Johnny Town Mouse was born in a cupboard. Timmy Willie was born in a garden. Timmy Willie was a little country mouse who went to town by mistake in a hamper. The gardener sent vegetables to town once a week by carrier. He packed them in a big hamper. The gardener left the hamper by the garden gate so that the carrier could pick it up when he passed. Timmy Willie crept in through a hole in the wickerwork, and after eating some peas, Timmy Willie fell fast asleep. He awoke in a fright while the hamper was being lifted into the carrier's cart. Then there was a jolting and a clattering of horses' feet. Other packages were thrown in for miles and miles. Jolt, jolt, jolt. And Timmy Willie trembled amongst the jumbled up vegetables. At last the cart stopped at a house, where the hamper was taken out, carried in, and set down. The cook gave the carrier sixpence, the back door banged, and the cart rumbled away. But there was no quiet. There seemed to be hundreds of carts passing. Dogs barked, boys whistled in the street, the cook laughed, the parlor maid ran up and down stairs, and a canary sang like a steam engine. Timmy Willie, who had lived all his life in a garden, was almost frightened to death. Presently, the cook opened the hamper and began to unpack the vegetables. Out sprang the terrified Timmy Willie. Up jumped the cook on a chair, exclaiming,
"Oh, a mouse! A mouse! Call the cat! Fetch me the poker, Sarah!"
Timmy Willie did not wait for Sarah with the poker. He rushed along the skirting board till he came to a little hole, and in he popped. He dropped half a foot and crashed into the middle of a mouse dinner party, breaking three glasses.
"Who in the world is this?"
inquired Johnny Town Mouse. But after the first exclamation of surprise, he instantly recovered his manners. With the utmost politeness, he introduced Timmy Willie to nine other mice, all with long tails and white neckties. Timmy Willie's own tail was insignificant. Johnny Town Mouse and his friends noticed it, but they were too well-bred to make personal remarks. Only one of them asked Timmy Willie if he had ever been in a trap. The dinner was of eight courses, not much of anything, but truly elegant. All the dishes were unknown to Timmy Willie, who would have been a little afraid of tasting them, only he was very hungry and very anxious to behave with company manners. The continual noise upstairs made him so nervous that he dropped a plate.
Never mind, they don't belong to us, said Johnny. Why don't those youngsters come back with the dessert?
It should be explained that two young mice, who were waiting on the others, went skirmishing upstairs to the kitchen between courses. Several times they had come tumbling in, squeaking and laughing. Timmy Willie learned with horror that they were being chased by the cat. His appetite failed. He felt faint.
Try some jelly? Said Johnny Town Mouse.
No. Would you rather go to bed? I will show you a most comfortable sofa pillow.
The sofa pillow had a hole in it. Johnny Town Mouse quite honestly recommended it as the best bed, kept exclusively for visitors. But the sofa smelt of cat. Timmy Willie preferred to spend a miserable night under the fender. It was just the same the next day. An excellent breakfast was provided for mice accustomed to eat bacon. But Timmy Willie had been reared on roots and salad. Johnny Town Mouse and his friends racketed about under the floors and came boldly out all over the house in the evening. One particularly loud crash had been caused by Sarah tumbling downstairs with the tea tray. There were crumbs and sugar and smears of jam to be collected, in spite of the cat. Timmy Willie longed to be at home in his peaceful nest in a sunny bank. The food disagreed with him. The noise prevented him from sleeping. In a few days, he grew so thin that Johnny Town Mouse noticed it and questioned him. He listened to Timmy Willie's story and inquired about the garden.
It sounds rather a dull place. What do you do when it rains?
When it rains, I sit in my little sandy burrow and shell corn and seeds from my autumn store. I peep out at the throstles and blackbirds on the lawn and my friend Cock Robin. And when the sun comes out again, you should see my garden and the flowers. Roses and pinks and pansies. No noise inside except the birds and bees and the lambs in the meadows.
There goes that cat again!
Exclaimed Johnny Town Mouse. When they had taken refuge in the coal cellar, he resumed the conversation.
I confess I'm a little disappointed. We have endeavored to entertain you, Timothy William.
Oh, yes, yes. You have been most kind. But I do feel so ill,
said Timmy Willie.
It may be that your teeth and digestion are unaccustomed to our food. Perhaps it might be wiser for you to return to our hamper.
Oh,
cried Timmy Willie.
Why, of course. For the matter of that, we could have sent you back last week,
said Johnny rather huffily.
Did you not know that the hamper goes back empty on Saturdays?
So Timmy Willie said goodbye to his new friends and hid in the hamper with a crumb of cake and a withered cabbage leaf. And after much jolting, he was sat down safely in his own garden. Sometimes on Saturdays, he went to look at the hamper lying by the gate, but he knew better than to get in again. And nobody got out, though Johnny Town Mouse had half promised a visit. The winter passed. The sun came out again. Timmy Willie sat by his burrow, warming his little fur coat and sniffing the smell of violets and spring grass. He had nearly forgotten his visit to town when up the sandy path, all spick and span with a brown leather bag, came Johnny Town Mouse. Timmy Willie received him with open arms.
You have come at the best of all the year. We will have herb pudding and sit in the sun.
It is a little damp, said Johnny Town Mouse, who was carrying his tail under his arm out of the mud.
What is that fearful noise?
He started violently.
That? Said Timmy Willie. That is only a cow. I will beg a little milk. They are quite harmless, unless they happen to lie down upon you. How are all our friends?
Johnny's account was rather middling. He explained why he was paying his visit so early in the season. The family had gone to the seaside for Easter. The cook was doing spring cleaning, on board wages, with particular instructions to clear out the mice. There were 4 kittens, and the cat had killed the canary.
They say we did it, but I know better, said Johnny Town Mouse.
Whatever is that fearful racket? That is only the lawnmower. I will fetch some of the grass clippings presently to make your bed. I am sure you had better settle in the country, Johnny. We shall see by Tuesday week. The hamper is stopped while they are at the seaside. I am sure you will never want to live in town again, said Timmy Willie.
But he did. He went back in the very next hamper of vegetables. He said it was too quiet. One place suits one person, another place suits another person. For my part, I prefer to live in the country, like Timmy Willie. Don't move a muscle. There are more stories to come as Tristan's Storytime continues. One important lesson I've learned over the years is to be on your guard whenever danger lurks. And when it comes to danger, I mean the wicked wolf. And it's all in this classic fairy tale, The Wolf and the Seven Little Goats. There was once an old goat who had seven little ones, and was as fond of them as every mother was of her children. One day she had to go into the wood to fetch food for them, so she called them all around her.
Dear children, she said, I am going out into the wood, and while I am gone, be on your guard against the wolf, for if he were to get inside, he would eat you up, skin, bones, and all. The wretch often disguises himself, but he may always be known by his hoarse voice and black paws.
Dear Mother, answered the kids, you need not be afraid. We will take good care of ourselves.
And the mother bleated goodbye and went on her way with an easy mind. It was not long before someone came knocking at the house door and crying out,
Open the door, my dear children. Your mother has come back and has brought each of you something.
But the little kids knew it was the wolf by the hoarse voice.
We will not open the door,
they cried.
You are not our mother. She has a delicate and sweet voice, and your voice is hoarse. You are the wicked wolf. Go away.
Then off went the wolf to a shop and bought a big lump of chalk and ate it up to make his voice soft. And then he came back, knocked at the house door, and cried,
Open the door, my dear children. Your mother is here and has brought each of you something.
But the wolf had put up his black paws against the window, and the kids, seeing this, cried out,
Our mother has no black paws like you. You are the wicked wolf. Go away.
The wolf then ran to a baker.
Baker, he said, I am hurt in the foot. Pray spread some dough over the place.
And when the baker had plastered his feet, he ran to the miller.
Miller, he said, strew me some white meal over my paws.
But the miller refused, thinking the wolf must be meaning harm to someone.
If you don't do it, cried the wolf, I'll eat you up.
And the miller was afraid and did as he was told. And that just shows what men are. And now came the rogue the third time to the door and knocked.
Open, children, he cried. Your dear mother has come home and brought you each something from the wood.
First show us your paws, said the kids, so that we may know if you are really our mother or not.
And he put up his paws against the window, and when they saw that they were white, all seemed right. And they opened the door, and when he was inside, they saw it was the wolf, and they were terrified and tried to hide themselves. One ran under the table, the second got into the bed, the third into the oven, the fourth in the kitchen, the fifth in the cupboard, the sixth under the sink, and the seventh in the clock case. But the wolf found them all and gave them short shrift. One after the other, he swallowed down, all but the youngest, who was hidden in the clock case.
And so the wolf, having got what he wanted, strolled forth into the green meadows, and laying himself down under a tree, he fell asleep. Not long after, the mother goat came back from the wood. And oh, what a sight met her eyes! The door was standing wide open, table, chairs, and stools all thrown about, dishes broken, quilt and pillows torn off the bed. She sought her children, but they were nowhere to be found. She called to each of them by name, but nobody answered, until she came to the name of the youngest.
"Here I am, Mother,"
a little voice cried.
"Here, in the clock case."
And so she helped him out, and heard how the wolf had come and eaten all the rest. And you may think how she cried for the loss of her dear children. At last, in her grief, she wandered out the doors, and the youngest kid with her. And when they came into the meadow, there they saw the wolf lying under a tree, snoring so that the branches shook. The mother goat looked at him carefully on all sides, and she noticed how something inside his body was moving and struggling.
"Dear me," she thought. "Can it be that my poor children that he devoured for his evening meal are still alive?"
And she sent the little kid back into the house for a pair of shears and needle and thread. Then she cut the wolf's body open, and no sooner had she made one snip than out came the head of one of the kids, and then another snip, and then one after the other of the six little kids all jumped out alive and well, for in his greediness the rogue had swallowed them down whole. How delightful this was! So they comforted their dear mother and hopped about like tailors at a wedding.
"Now fetch some good hard stones," said the mother, "and we will fill his body with them as he lies asleep."
And so they fetched some in all haste and put them inside him, and the mother sewed him up so quickly again that he was none the wiser. When the wolf at last awoke and got up, the stones inside him made him feel very thirsty as he was going to the brook to drink. They struck and rattled one against another, and so he cried out.
"What is this I feel inside me, knocking hard against my bones? How should such a thing betide me? They were kids, and now they're stones!"
So he came to the brook and stopped to drink, but the heavy stones weighed him down. So he fell over into the water and was drowned. And when the seven little kids saw it, they came up running.
"The wolf is dead! The wolf is dead!"
they cried, and taking hands, they danced with their mother all about the place. Well, folks and kids, here is the moral of the story that the wolf definitely learned the hard way. If you do bad things, then expect bad in return. Stay tuned for more stories, folks, as Tristan's Storytime continues. Most people would believe me when I look at the beauty of something when I should really look at its functionality. Like my clocks or appliances, for instance. So I always want to make sure that they run as they should. Well, here is a story of a stag who should have remembered the use of his legs instead of the beauty of his antlers. And it's all in The Stag and His Reflection by Aesop. A stag, drinking from a crystal spring, saw himself mirrored in the clear water. He greatly admired the graceful arch of his antlers, but he was very much ashamed of his spindling legs.
"How can it be," he sighed, "that I should be cursed with such legs when I have so magnificent a crown?"
At that moment, he scented a panther, and in an instant was bounding away through the forest. But as he ran, his wide-spreading antlers caught in the branches of the trees, and soon the panther overtook him. Then the stag perceived that the legs of which he was so ashamed would have saved him had it not been for the useless ornaments on his head. Well, here's the moral of the fable, folks, and something we should all remember, no matter what we get at the store.
We often make much of the ornamental and despise the useful. Today's nursery rhyme is another popular one and another popular children's game. And this song is often heard in many Jack-in-the-Box toys. I remember playing with one myself. And today's nursery rhyme is Pop Goes the Weasel. And I remember when I played with the Jack-in-the-Box toys, every time we went to the pop part, the box would open and out pop Jack, or some other person, or whatever you'd like to name your Jack-in-the-Box toy. And don't worry, this song will not make you go pop. Only the weasel will be popping as we sing Pop Goes the Weasel.
All around the mulberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel. The monkey thought 'twas all in good fun. Pop goes the weasel. A penny for a spool of thread, a tuppence for a needle. That's the way the money goes. Pop goes the weasel.
Don't go away. Kristen Storytime will continue. Did you realize that people every morning wake up with the sun and go to sleep when it sets? This is what happens with most people. And I figured this poem would be a great way to end each and every day. And it's simply called Good Night by Robert Louis Stevenson. When the bright lamp is carried in, the sunless hours again begin. O'er all without, in field and lane, the haunted night returns again. Now we behold the embers flee above the firelit hearth and see our faces painted as we pass like pictures on the window glass. Must we to bed indeed? Well then, let us arise and go like men and face with an undaunted tread the long black passage up to bed. Farewell, O brother, sister, sire, O pleasant party round the fire, the songs you sing, the tales you tell, till far tomorrow, fare ye well. Boy, those were some great stories that we read today, weren't they? But we've just come to the end of another great show. Did you enjoy it? I know I did. Leave a comment on the Tristan Storytime Facebook page and Twitter feed. And don't forget to follow Tristan Storytime on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Oh, and hey, if you missed a great story from the past, you're in luck, because you get to see great videos of some of the stories I read in the past every Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. on social media. Music and sound effects are included. And if you want to get in touch with me, that's also very easy. Just send an email to TristanStorytime@gmail.com and I'll be in touch with you lickety-split. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again to read some more great stories to you. Until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember, keep using your imaginations. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are The Tale of Johnny Town Mouse, written and illustrated by Beatrix Potter. Published in 1918 by Frederick Warren and Company. The Wolf and the Seven Little Goats, taken from the book Stories to Read or Tell from Fairy Tales and Folklore. Selected and edited by Laure Claire Fouché. Illustrated by Ada Bedell. Published in 1917 by Moffat, Yard and Company. The Stag and His Reflection, taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop. Pictures by Myla Winter. Published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. Pop Goes the Weasel. Originally published in 1852. Music arrangement by the Green Orbs. Good Night. Taken from the book A Child's Garden of Verses by Robert Louis Stevenson. Illustrated by Bessie Collins Pease. Published in 1905 by the Dodge Publishing Company.